Stay tuned now on 1460 WVOX for The Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin. The Ballot Box is a monthly program brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Now, The Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to The Ballot Box. I'm Tamar Tate and I'm joined by my co-host, Nita Lubin. And we're coming to you, as always, on behalf of the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle, courtesy of WVOX 1460 AM, and our talented sound engineer, Gerald Bell. So, Nina, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, Tamar. I just got in from the garden trying to take advantage of a couple of hours of sun before it looks like winter hits us again. And I heard Dennis and Tani announcing the ballot box, so I hustled back in here to get on with our show.
So we're going to be devoting today's show to the important topic of redistricting. Redistricting is the process following each census where our legislative district lines are redrawn. But I just want to mention, before we begin, I want to let everyone know that we're going to be having a special edition of the Ballot Box next Wednesday. That's 1 week from today, Wednesday morning, April 28th, at our usual time, 9 a.m. And the reason for this special show is we're going to devote it exclusively to matters affecting the New Rochelle School District. Why this specially timed show? Well, you guessed it. New Rochelle School Board and budget elections are May 8th, and the ballot box wants everyone to have the most up-to-date information on both budget and board as they head once again to the polls. So please mark your calendars, April 28th, 9 a.m., and now let's introduce today's guest on the ballot box.
On it, Tamar. Jennifer Wilson is our guest today. She is the Deputy Director of the League of Women Voters of New York State. She serves as the State League's in-house lobbyist, policy advisor, and communications representative. In other words, listeners, Jennifer keeps a close eye on political and legal doings in Albany and regularly shares that information with New York's county and local league branches. Since joining the league in 2015, Jennifer has helped advocate for the passage of voting reforms, including early voting, primary consolidation, pre-registration for 16 and 17-year-olds, and registration modernizations. Before coming to the league, Jennifer served as Deputy Regional Director of the Albany Office of Senator Chuck Schumer. Most recently, Jennifer has been directing the creation and development of the league's first ever Redistricting Day of Action. This is a virtual people's hearing that will be held next week. And that Day of Action is precisely what we'd like to talk about this morning. Welcome back to the Ballot Box, Jennifer, and thank you for taking time during a very busy month to join us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Our pleasure. So, as noted, our focus this morning is on the New York League's statewide Day of Action, 1 week from tomorrow, on Thursday evening, April 29th at 6:30 p.m. So, first question of the day, what is the action on the Day of Action all about?
Yeah, so we decided that we wanted to start to engage the public in redistricting. It seems like the census was so long ago and redistricting is so far in the distance, but in reality, redistricting is starting now in New York State. And the people's hearing is essentially a people-led hearing, hence the name. This is not a legislative-sponsored event or a redistricting commission-sponsored event. This is a league event that is geared at engaging communities of interest and engaging different stakeholders in a conversation on redistricting. So we have 22 different organizations representing communities from throughout New York State, representing all kinds of diverse stakeholder groups who are going to come together and provide quote-unquote testimony about why redistricting matters to them and the communities that they live in and the communities that they serve in their organizational capacity. So really excited. We have a lot of incredible speakers lined up, and it's very easy to register. We're doing it through Zoom webinar. So if you're interested in watching this people's hearing on April 29th at 6:30 p.m., you can go to nyredistricting.org, and there's a link right at the top of the page to register via Zoom.
Okay, let me repeat that for listeners.
I'm just wondering nyredistricting.org. Jennifer, you used this term of art, communities of interest. Could you just clarify what that means?
Sure, of course. So when we talk about communities of interest with relation to redistricting, we're essentially talking about a group of individuals who maybe live in close proximity, maybe live kind of further away from each other, but they have shared issues that cover them. So let's say you and your neighbors all have your kids all go to the same school district. You would be considered a community of interest. Or if you and your neighbors or neighbors from outside of where you live all go to the same church, that could be a community of interest. Or if you go to work in the city and you all take the same train to get there, that's part of your community of interest. So community of interest is kind of a broad term when we think about it with relation to redistricting. But when it comes down to it, redistricting really matters with relation to how your elected representatives are elected and who is electing them. So you want to make sure that these big issues like your school, public transit, water quality, housing, that the representatives who are elected to represent you care about those issues from the lens of your community of interest. So if you live on this side of town and your kids go to this school and you guys all share this same public transit, your interests are probably not the same as someone from a community further away from you whose kids all go to a different school and who maybe all they do is drive. They don't use public transit. You wouldn't want to have the same elected representation because those are two very different interests.
So creating a community of interest then is really a very local grassroots effort. Is that right?
Yes, and this is something that we are starting to work on at the League and work on locally as well as more broadly. Since redistricting is going to happen at the congressional level, it's going to happen at the state assembly and senate level, and then also throughout the state, depending on your county and municipality, your county, town seats, and all sort of local city legislative districts may also be redistricted over the next 2 years.
Okay, so if I'm understanding this correctly, in simplest form, communities of interest should be together in the same district. A community of interest should be within the boundaries of a district.
I think what might
be scattered over several districts.
Yeah, I think what might be a helpful example is there's a town in Rockland County that should be wholly within a district, but it was redistricted into four districts in the last redistricting cycle. Mm-hmm. And the particular area at the center of these four districts has a very bad water quality problem. But because their voters represent such a small voting block within each of these four districts, they can't get anyone to care about this water quality issue, because even if those people who are living within those small pieces of the district don't vote for those elected representatives, the vast majority of voters can still vote for them and they can still get voted back into office. So essentially, focusing on your community of interest, ensuring that your community of interest is wholly intact when redistricting happens, will ensure that those issues, like I said, whether it's water quality, public transit, housing, it could be your school, it could be hospitals, it could be all kinds of things, making sure that those interests aren't divided ensures that the voting population all has the same sort of basic concerns in mind.
Okay, thank you. So let's say there is a community of interest that has identified itself, and I want to come back to how we get that done, but let's say there is a community of interest that is identified, it's understand the geographic locale. How does that community of interest get that information to the map drawers?
So there will be, at the state and congressional level, there's a new process in place this year than has ever been happened in New York State before, where instead of having our legislature draw the maps, we'll have an independent redistricting commission draw them. And this commission has already started to meet, and this is part of our state constitution now. And part of the amendment in the constitution mandates that there be public hearings that we can talk about
Jennifer,
later.
we're facing a break now. Let's come back with those public hearings as soon as the break's over. Thank you.
1460 WVOX.
Let's return now to the ballot box with your hosts Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, the ballot box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back. We are speaking with Jennifer Wilson, the Deputy Director of the League of Women Voters of New York State. And before the break, we were discussing communities of interest and how they can have their voices heard in the redistricting process in New York State. Jennifer, if a group of neighbors and I want to create a community of interest, how do we start? What do we do? How do we get our voices heard?
There is a lot of free software available right now to help people be able to engage in this. It's actually very exciting. I feel like this is the first time ever in redistricting where we have so much free software available online that's really easy to use. And one that we've really been toting is Representable, which is a very, very easy piece of software out of Princeton. It's just representable.org. And it's super easy to actually draw your community of interest on a map. But I think the first step in all of this is just getting together with members of your community remotely, in many cases, either by, you know, contacting maybe the neighborhood Facebook group you're a part of, or if you're on the Nextdoor app, and just talking through what the different interests are within your community. You know, again, whether it's your school or maybe everyone in your community all works in the same place. Maybe you all work at the hospital in the area. Or maybe you all use the same transit line, or maybe it is a road issue. Maybe your road has a lot of potholes, and just sort of thinking through where the boundaries of that district is. So would you consider the grocery store you shop in as part of that community of interest? Would you consider your church as part of the neighborhood within that community of interest? And just sort of walking back and thinking about how big your community boundaries are. And I think that's a good place to start. And even think about, before contacting your neighbors, thinking about your own community of interest, just sort of thinking through all of the different things that you do, all of the different things that impact your daily life related to your community. And think about what are areas of the community that, if they were not included within your district, that would really negatively impact your life. Like, are there certain things that, let's say, your child's school wasn't included in your community? How would that negatively impact your life in terms of your legislator going to Congress, or in most cases, you know, going to the state assembly and Senate is usually where the school issues lie. How would that impact your child's education and your own day-to-day life?
So the Day of Action on April 29th, this event, if I'm correct, is to have certain communities of interest that have volunteered speak as to what their priorities are. Is that correct?
Yes. And originally we had invited members of the public to submit testimony and be considered to present that testimony. And we didn't get a lot of entries. We are still taking public comments from people through the same link, nyredistricting.org. There is an email address there, and there's a Google form there. And those comments, we're going to collect them all and have them publicly available and also send them out to the Redistricting Commission and to the legislature just to get some attention to all of these different issues that are going to be raised. But these organizations, yes, they represent a lot of diverse stakeholders throughout New York State. We have Latino Justice testifying, the Chinese American Planning Council, the Asian American Legal Defense and Education Fund, Disability Rights New York is testifying, the New York Immigration Coalition is testifying, the Hispanic Federation. We just have, like I said, we have 22 groups, and then we also have some local leagues from upstate as well and downstate too, who will be testifying as well to talk specifically about those regions, since a lot of times we feel like things are so New York City heavy, even though obviously New York City is the biggest populated part of New York State, but we wanted to make sure that we had voices from Westchester, out in the North Country, also Nassau and Tompkins County and Albany and the Capital Region. So we do have a lot of voices from throughout New York State who will be presenting.
So this is what the League of Women Voters of New York State is doing to help ensure public input and through all these communities of interest. But going forward, I mean, certainly new communities of interest can form, and at that point, public input can be brought to the commission hearings, right?
Yes. So the commission has said that they're planning to hold their first round of hearings over the summer. And it may seem very complicated. I'm sure this whole entire segment, if this is your first time sort of hearing about redistricting, might feel like, oh my gosh, what are they even talking about? And the nyredistricting.org website has a lot of great resources on there. We have a redistricting 101 presentation that's archived on there. It's a YouTube video that really is a deep dive into what the process is. We have a community of interest presentation that, again, is a really deep dive into what communities of interest are. And we will have a training as well on giving testimony and presenting testimony related to redistricting. But the good thing is now is the perfect time to start thinking about this and start thinking about how gerrymandering may directly hurt your community if your voice isn't heard in this process.
When is that training going to be presented on how to present at hearings?
So we haven't scheduled it yet. I'm hoping we can announce it at the community, or I'm sorry, at the Day of Action on the 29th. I also should mention that we have a representative from New York Law School, Jeff Weiss, who is the premier expert on New York redistricting. He will be giving a 5 to 10 minute presentation at the beginning of the hearing on the 29th to just lay out the landscape and talk about what the process is. So if you're new to redistricting and you want like a quick summary of how it works and what it is, Jeff Weiss from New York Law School will be presenting that at the top of the program on the 29th.
Okay. We have had Professor Weiss on the show, and he is immensely clear and comprehensive and quite easy to understand. So I would encourage people who would like to tune in to the April 29th Zoom to do so early and on time to get the lay of the land from Professor Weiss. So even though the April 29th Zoom 6:30 to 8 p.m. is not a commission hearing, people can tune in to get a taste, a flavor, suggestions of what they might be presenting at commission hearings. It's a whole instructive piece that I think will help clarify and solidify what it means to present ultimately to the redistricting commission.
Yeah, and okay. I think that's a great point. It'll also give people a better sense of what a community of interest is. When you hear from these speakers who that's what they're thinking about right now is the community of interest, the communities of interest in many cases that their organizations represent. And that's what they're going to be talking about. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I still don't get what a community of interest is, this people's hearing is an excellent opportunity to hear from a lot of different groups who represent a lot of different communities of interest, what exactly that means and what it means to their organization.
Okay, so again, I just want to mention nyredistricting.org, which will not only give you the registration form for April 29th, but also houses almost just about everything that Jennifer has touched on discussion today. So it's a good piece of instruction for when you have time, nyredistricting.org.
Jennifer, you've got so many different communities of interest that are going to be on the Day of Action. What are the logistics of having everybody in the hour and a half that's been allotted?
It was a little complicated to figure out how much time everyone's going to get, but everyone is getting 4 minutes, and I'm hoping to keep everyone on target with those 4 minutes. We are doing the Zoom webinar style, so if you're worried about being on the Zoom because you're Zoomed out, don't have to. No one's going to see you, so don't worry about that.
All right.
We'll be back
right after the break.
1460 WVOX.
Let's return now to the Ballot Box with your hosts, Tamar Tate and Nita Lubin, brought to you by the League of Women Voters of New Rochelle. Once again, the Ballot Box on 1460 WVOX.
Welcome back. We are here for our final segment with Jennifer Wilson, Deputy Director of the League of Women Voters of New York State, and we have been talking about New York State redistricting. I'd like to bring this back out 30,000 feet and talk about the country as a whole. Jennifer, what's going on in other states, and is the League involved?
Yes, so the League is a national, state, and local organization, and when it comes to redistricting, our national organization is leading what they're calling the People-Powered Fair Maps campaign. So this is a one-and-a-half-year-in-the-making campaign where our national organization is urging all 50 states and the District of Columbia to work on policy related to redistricting and fair maps and making sure that the policies that are in place are fair and that we aren't allowing policies that either let the sitting legislature redraw their own maps or have some sort of unfair policy that's going to let the maps be drawn in a way that are gerrymandered and not going to be representative of the communities that they serve.
Wow, so People-Powered Fair Maps is the umbrella term for really having the public, communities of interest, perhaps individuals, really having a voice in redistricting, this decade. I would like to say that this is a real, maybe second to voting or in tandem with voting, a real public display of being involved in a representative democracy, having the ability to have input on how legislative maps are created, and how it is the public choosing its politicians rather than having politicians choose how they're going to shape and reshape the public in terms of district. I just think it's a good step for democracy. My plug.
Jennifer, we've spent so much time talking about this independent redistricting commission in New York State, and I know earlier this year lawmakers approved the inclusion of an amendment on the upcoming November ballot that would, in effect, make it easier for Democrats to enact their own redistricting plan without support from the Republicans simply by virtue of the fact that they have the majority. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So this amendment was brought forward first last year because constitutional amendments have to pass twice, and it was brought forward with very little allowance for public input. There was never a hearing on it. There was never... they put it forward on a Monday and they passed it on a Thursday. So there was very, very little opportunity for the public to provide any sort of input to a constitutional amendment. And what this amendment essentially does is it shifts the voting power both in the commission when voting on the maps and then within the legislature when the legislature votes to approve the map. So instead of allowing equal representation from both parties in the voting process, it shifted so that there doesn't have to be any sort of input from the minority party. And when I say minority party, I don't just mean in the case of New York State, the Republican Party. I mean all of the minority parties within New York State. So if you're a registered voter with Working Families Party, if you're a conservative voter, if you're a green voter, if you're an unaffiliated voter, you will not have equal representation to the Democratic Party in this process. The League is opposing this amendment for those reasons, because the way the original amendment to allow for the Independent Redistricting Commission was written up gave all of the parties equal power, so essentially giving all of the voters equal power, and this amendment doesn't do that. There are some positive things in the amendment. The timeline right now for having the maps implemented is going to butt up against the timeline to start petitioning in New York State for those seats. So essentially, there's the risk of not having districts in place, even though the candidates are starting to seek petitions to run for those seats, and that's not a good thing. There's also a lot of dead language within the constitutional amendment that refers to aliens that doesn't need to be in there. But by and large, the goal of the amendment is to strip away the voting power of the minority parties, and we do not support that.
Does it look likely that there will be significant support for it?
So I fear that this is a very complicated topic, and I also fear that this is a not big election year for most of the state. Of course, in New York City and some localities, there's some very hot local elections, but I think voters should know that this is not the only constitutional amendment that they will vote on their ballot in November. There will also be a clean air and water amendment, and there may also be two amendments related to voting for same-day voter registration and no-excuse absentee voting. So I think for voters' standpoint, if you're listening to this, stay tuned for more information about the constitutional amendments that will be on the ballot. The League, of course, will do neutral education on each of the amendments, but we will give our position on each of them as well. But the education will show both sides, what people are saying that are in support, what people are saying in opposition, and that will be very neutral, but we will give our position for each of them as we do with all ballot referendums. But just stay tuned for more information on that because there may be many more constitutional amendments to come.
Okay, so stay tuned. And the next thing on our punch list then is next week, and basically tune in to the Day of Action on April 29th at 6:30 p.m. I'm wondering what happens after that. How will people-powered fair mapping proceed after April 29th?
Yeah, so after April 29th, as I mentioned, we'll have a training on giving testimony. Hopefully by then, the commission itself will also have its website up because currently there is not a website for the Independent Redistricting Commission since they had a little delay in their funding release. But keep tuned to the nyredistricting.org website. We put new materials on there pretty much every single week, whether it's new trainings or new links to new resources that people can look at. And as soon as the Independent Redistricting Commission creates their website, we will have that link front and center so people can see how to contact the commission. They can see when hearings are coming up. They can see when their meetings are coming up. So hopefully within the next couple of weeks, there'll be a lot more information on this than there even is right now.
Right, right. Again, the website is newyorkredistricting.org, and among many other things it will hold, when you mention trainings coming up, I'm assuming that you will be able to find these trainings recorded to view at your leisure and not necessarily have to tune in at a specific time and day. Do I have that right?
Yep, you have that absolutely correct. And then also, we have the presentations themselves. You know, if we use the PowerPoint for it, we have the PowerPoint on there. If there was accompanying handouts that came with it, we have the handouts on there. It's just so much information on this website that you can find out anything you want to know about redistricting in New York State.
Okay, thanks. I love the term people-powered fair mapping. I think it is democracy in action. Any final words as we head off?
I think you had it completely, perfectly right that this is a 1 in 10 year opportunity, and if you don't let your voice be heard in this process, you may be stuck with a really lousy district for 10 years and have a legislator who doesn't care about you or your family or your community for 10 years, and that is a very, very long time.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jennifer. In the couple of seconds remaining, just wondering if there's anything else happening in the New York League that we should know about.
Well, I guess I'll plug our social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, League of Women Voters of New York State, or at LWVNYS, and we have links to everything we talked about on our social media as well. So if you're having trouble finding the link, just go to League of Women Voters Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Jennifer Wilson, for joining us. Jennifer Wilson from the League of Women Voters of New York State. Please join us for our next special edition show focusing on the New Rochelle School Board and budget elections next Wednesday, April 28th. Have a good day, everybody.
Have a good day.